This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP President, Money Manager, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Friday edition of Invest Talk. It's February 6th, 2015. In addition to this hour-long program, we produce our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, which is tomorrow, 9 to noon, in the San Jose Hyatt House, at the San Jose Hyatt House. I hope you'll be there if you can. If you're in the area, we hope you can join us. It's called The Upside of Lower Oil Prices. We'll talk about other commodities too, but mainly we're going to focus on oil and how it reflects across a broad spectrum of not only politics, but industries and sectors, not just oil, but primarily oil. We're going to look at the various sectors there. So if you want to join us, go to investtalk.com and you can click on the conference heading there and you can sign up. To show you how dynamic the financial markets really are, if you played back a recorded show of Invest Talk, this show back in March in 2011, we were talking about strategies for rising oil prices. And the lesson, of course, is to understand that you have to anticipate change and devise proper responses to it. Sectors rise and sectors fall. They rotate. Some sectors lead for a while, then they lag for a while. And it's kind of important that you know how that works. You know, and if you're a buy and holder for long, long years, you can ignore the sector rotations. You can do that. If you're going to be an indexer, you just buy the index, knowing full well that certain sectors will be weak, but other sectors will be strong. So you can do that. But we're talking about oil. And right now we're on the downside of oil sectors, but maybe it's time to start thinking about buying. So that's what we do. Another way we try to inform listeners and keep you educated is our premium newsletter. And that comes out every Friday, came out this morning. And, of course, the first section is a summary of the week and what happened to the stock market. And we said this morning that it bounced strong for the week and has brought it back to just a hair's breadth away from December highs. We're not there. Of course, it was down today. So we're probably about 1% off. In the stock selection section, I showed you two stocks we recently purchased. I'm not recommending them, but I told you why. What were the reasons for these purchases? And, of course, the portfolio management section, I talked about how finding fundamentally strong stocks is not hard. It's actually pretty easy. You start with, superior earnings, solid balance sheet, a stable area of products and services they offer. What becomes hard is when to buy and when to sell. And of those two actions, selling is a lot harder. And we talked about, on a consumer watch, we talked about the hack of the big hack we had. You remember Target and Home Depot. We know all about that. But just day before yesterday, a couple of days, Anthem, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Anthem, 80 million people's information got hacked. If you want to subscribe, you just go to Invest Talk. You can try it for a month, investtalk.com. Try for a month. It's, $9.90, less than $10 a month, right at $10 a month. Okay, it's time to bring the phone into the mix. We always, always take phone calls first. Our number is 888-99-CHART. That's how you can reach us on Invest Talk. You can call that number anytime you want. So let's answer this question.
Well, thanks for taking the call. I inherited my mother's portfolio. And she had a strategy where she had a basket of about 30 stocks that all paid a small or medium-sized dividend, and then she wouldn't reinvest them. She would use the cash from them to purchase other stocks that also paid a dividend, and she slowly grew her portfolio that way. Is that a good strategy? Thank you.
Yes. It is a good strategy, because when you do that, you're diversifying more and more and more your portfolio. Now, there's a point where it's too diverse, and you might as well buy index. But it is a good strategy to get, when you're starting small, you don't have a lot of money, how do you build a portfolio? Over time, you can just take that dividend to buy a different stock and take it and buy a different stock. And it will build a portfolio over time of a good solid. Now, there might be, you know, gauging the risk while you're doing that is a whole different subject, but it's a good way to build a portfolio. You can also reinvest the dividends in the exact same stocks, but what if you only could afford, you know, four stocks? See, that's too narrow. That's very focused, and you could really hurt yourself. So it's better to build a diversified portfolio. The American Association of Individual Investors says you use a notebook. Write down why you are buying something and what would cause you to sell it. The best ways to learn about investing. That's going to be one of our talking points today. I mean, I have others. How about that great jobs report that came out this morning? I mean, it was surprisingly strong. Well, how come the market didn't reflect that growth? I mean, that really good news. I mean, they revised last 2 months much higher in jobs growth. Why did the market? I have four reasons why the market didn't move up today. Investing in stocks all by itself will not be enough for retirement. So you got to do something else. And I will talk about that a little bit more. Also, I want to talk about, are stocks over expensive right now? Are they expensive in general? And finally, should the Bank of England follow the rest of almost the entire world except us and do a QE? Should they? They're thinking about it. They were not that long ago ready to raise rates. Now they're not. Why not? Now, you know, we've talked about this, you know, about QE and the currency war. So this is part of the currency war. Now they're thinking about joining in on the war. Kind of interesting. That's what we're going to discuss today, hopefully. Right now, let's take a quick review of today's market. The Dow was down 62, the NASDAQ down 21, and the S&P down 7. And this is after, what, 4 or 5 days up in a row? And that was after 4 or 5 days down in a row? I mean, we've had a lot of volatility this year so far, and I don't think this is anything that we should really be overly concerned with. This increase in volatility at this point. It does tell you people are getting nervous, but it's not telling you what direction the market. It's not saying, oh, volatility, oh, the market's going to fall. No, not necessarily. I mean, it could, but that's not necessarily what this volatility is telling us. This is more of a return to kind of normal volatility over the years. So I think. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and I hope you plan on joining us tomorrow, Saturday morning, in San Jose at the Saturday Morning Wealth Conference. The upside of lower oil prices here in California, they're creeping up a little, right? You've seen that. Well, they've been creeping up. They've rebounded from their low oil, the barrel cost of a barrel of oil. Okay, does that mean the fall is over? Well, hopefully you can join the conference tomorrow and we'll talk about that. What will the ripple effect? What's happened? What kind of effect has the collapsed oil price caused? And have we seen it reverberate yet in the economy? Talk about that tomorrow too. So, and there, are there going to be opportunities here? Well, join us tomorrow. We'll talk about the whole picture. You can sign up now at investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're going to talk to Harish in Santa Clara. How you doing, Harish?
Doing good, Steve. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Thank you. I'm actually calling about Tesla. Mm-hmm. Tesla is going to come out with earnings in next week or I think the week
on
after.
On the 11th.
And based on my perception on the number of cars I saw last 2014 on the road and from what I hear from my friends who bought them, actually a lot of them, I'm speculating that they're going to have a good year 2014. Yep. So this is a speculative buy. I'm anticipating good earnings and I'm trying to get into the stock in the coming few days.
Okay.
So I'm calling you to find out, what is your take on what might come out?
From what I can see of Tesla and what I know of Elon Musk and what's happening with the company and where he's brought it from, I think it's going to be the next big auto company in the United States. And we haven't had a new one forever, right? This size, I think it's going to be big. Now, Tesla is going to come out with its earnings on the 11th. They're expecting a 60% increase year over year in sales. We don't know how many cars, because other auto companies report monthly their sales. Tesla does not. And Tesla doesn't tell us what, they do it quarterly or annually. So it's kind of tough to know exactly what's going to happen. But Elon Musk himself has said, don't plan on his company making money until 2020. That's what he said. Well, yeah. And I kind of like the stock. I like the company because I think it's going to succeed. It's very, very expensive, especially for an auto company. But then again, it's growing very, very fast. So it's hard to say, gee, it's fallen from $280 a share all the way down to $186, and now it's at $217. Is this a good support area? And I will say, yeah, around $200 is where you want to buy it, and I think $217 is close enough. So I kind of like it, Harish.
Okay.
But it is going to be speculative because, they're growing so fast, and if they stumble, the stock will stumble too. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for the
all
call.
Right. Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's Tesla, TSLA, everybody, TSLA. You can't argue with the success of the company. It's really successful. That's good for them. It's great. It's great. Another American corporation success story. Now it's a matter of when will our government start attacking them? They always attack the most successful companies. It's their pattern. Someday they will. The best way to learn about investing, that's one of our main talking points today. And if you go and read the article on our website, it has a couple of stories about investors and how they learned to trade. And I'm going to tell you this. The easiest way, first of all, there is no easy way, but the easiest way is to start investing. And maybe start with indexing and start reading. You have to educate yourself. If you're interested in this, it's a process that takes time, years. Okay, you can't just learn it, go to school, learn it in a book, okay, I'm ready to go. It takes more than that. You have to understand economics. You have to understand the dynamics of the companies you're buying, the sectors they're in, what drives them. A very important part is the emotional aspect of investing. Because it's very important. Fear and greed are very important. It's just not simple. It just never is simple. Do you be a contrarian investor? Do you stay with the trends? What trends are we talking about? What happens about interest rates rising and low? It's on and on and on and on. What is a QE? QE is new. That term would never even existed a few years ago. Now it's new. What does it mean? How's it? And it's super impactful on the stock market. And it's only been around three years. So things like that, new things come along all the time, and they can be very impactful. You just have to learn it. It takes time and effort. Just like anything you're going to be successful at, it takes time and effort. Be sure to sign up to become an InvestTalk Insider. I have a new updated ETF list, and it's available to all InvestTalk Insiders. You can sign up free. It's free. And investtalk.com. It's not that hard. It's easy. There's not a lot of questions. Only one question. What's your email so we can send it to you?
Our InvestTalk podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial. And here's a question for you. What's the difference between a managed mutual fund and a professional money manager? Well, maybe that's something you should ask Steve about. You can ring through anytime at 888-99-CHART. And he'll answer your question on the next podcast.
888-992-4278. Let's talk to Sam and San Leandro. How are you doing, Sam?
Hi, I'm fine. Thank you, Steve, for taking my call.
Thank you.
So I was looking for a few mutual funds which let me give me 5% return every year. Can you give me a list of those funds?
Actually, I cannot. The SEC requires that I cannot over the phone give you a list of funds to just anybody for any reason. But if you send me an email and you're looking, I got some ETFs that might be of interest to dividend paying ETFs that might be of interest, and I can send you that list as a watch list. But I can't, just say here, buy this. I can't do it over the airways. But send me an email. Go to investtalk.com. Click on the contact Steve. That's an email. Click on it. Say, Steve, send me that. Send me your ETF dividend paying list. I'll be happy, and I'll do it. I'll send it to you.
Well, one question is regarding the ETFs. Aren't they very risky while compared to mutual funds?
They're no more or less risky than mutual funds. Mutual funds and ETFs, if you're following an index or sector, they do the exact same thing.
Well, I thought that the ETFs don't have any assets to back.
That's wrong.
So they're kind of.
Nope. They own the actual stocks that they're tracking, just like the mutual fund.
Oh, they own the stocks that they're tracking?
Yes. They own them. Now, there are ETFs that don't, but those are leverage ETFs, and we don't use those, and I don't talk about them on the air. I'm talking about, Vanguard ETF that's maybe the Vanguard Large Cap Dividend Payer Stocks. Well, they'll own those dividend paying stocks in the ETF just like they would in the mutual fund. Okay. And
so
ETFs are cheaper.
So we can trade ETFs just like liquid?
Yes, they trade like stocks, whereas mutual funds, you can only sell them at the end of the day. ETFs, you can buy and sell them intraday, inside the day, like a stock. That's why they're being...
Compared to mutual funds, which is more safer, the ETFs or the mutual funds? Are they the same?
You really can't say one is more safe than the other, because they aren't. They're the same. What you can say is... There's a lot of mutual funds who have managers that manage the account, whereas an ETF, almost all of them just follow an index or a subset of stocks, and they don't trade inside there. Where in the mutual funds, they will go in and out of stocks depending on what the mutual fund does, depending on its definition. But if you're buying just an index, you can buy an ETF, S&P 500 ETF, is the exact same thing as S&P 500 mutual fund. Okay?
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate
the call. Thank you. Yeah, there's some confusion on what ETFs are. The major difference is that they can trade intraday. If you're tracking just indexes, there is no difference really. And it's just a matter of the cost. Is it cheaper or more expensive? An ETF versus a mutual fund. That's about it. Okay, the jobs report came out for January today. It was 257,000 new jobs were produced in January. But more importantly, the previous 2 months were revised up quite a bit higher than we had before. But it didn't reduce the unemployment rate because more people came into the market looking for jobs. So if that's true, how come the Dow was down 62 points, NASDAQ down 21, and the S&P down 7? I mean... It was a much better number, the 257,000, much better than expected. It was all good news. Even salaries were up in January, much better than expected. All good news, right? Well, why is the market down? Shouldn't it rally? Well, I got four reasons for you. First of all, the market was up 4 days in a row. For the Dow, it was up over 700 points in 4 days. Well, that was one of the reasons. Maybe everybody was already anticipating. Buy the rumor, sell the news. You bought the rumor that jobs were going to be good, and you sell the news when it actually was good. Another reason is there was a lot more, there seemed like there were more worries about Greece today because the S&P downgraded their bonds to a B. Junk. Sovereign bonds in Greece are junk. But more, I think more of the issue might be, and this is just a personal bias of mine, might be because the economy is producing much better jobs than expected. Salaries are finally increasing, which gives the Fed a little bit of sigh of relief because they're looking for some inflation. But so it looks like things are getting better. So a rate hike is definitely maybe closer. That's what I think investors were thinking. Interest rates hike. And then finally, Jobs report is a lagging indicator, not a leading indicator. It's lagging. So is, how important really is it? How, you know, because it tells you what happened before. Think about the jobs lost in the oil industry coming up. True value is determined by what people actually pay for a stock. True or false? Valuation, our topic coming up on InvestTalk 101. Do you have a question for me? 888-99-CHARTS, how you reach us? You can do it right now here on InvestTalk. George in San Jose has another question about Tesla, a different kind of question. Hi, George.
Hi, Steve. How are you? Great program, Steve.
Thank you.
Steve, trying to figure out Tesla, Morgan Stanley analyst, which has a huge coverage on Tesla, had an article last Wednesday that his stock is going to hit 250 by spring. Everything for Tesla is out. There is a slowdown in China is now out. There is nothing that is hidden in the marketplace, and the stock has the earning on Wednesday after the close.
Mm-hmm.
So is that true? If the stock want to go to 50 by a spring, it should go up after the earning announcement.
Well, you know, you might think that's the case, but it depends on how good or bad that earnings is. And everybody's looking forward, not, you know, once the earnings is told, once he told us earnings, we're going to look at, well, what do you think is going to be the coming up, not just the earnings. You know,
I listen from radio.
Okay. And for everybody else, you know, when your analysts are wrong quite often, don't take the analysts and just say, okay, well, that's how I'm going to invest because that's what they said. They're wrong often. And many times these analysts work for companies that follow the company that, you know, want the company to be favor them because maybe Tesla's going to have a bond offering or more stock offering. Guess who wants to be the bank that makes that offering for them and get big bucks for it? So be very careful paying attention to analysts. They are often wrong, often. Now, I like Tesla, as I said before. Long term, I think it's just going to continue to do well. But it's going to be volatile because it's way overpriced based on what their sales and earnings are now. I mean, stock is selling for $217. How much is it going to make? Well, this year, 2014, when we finally get the earnings, the estimate is for 57 cents a share. What's that, 300, 400 PE? You see? That's expensive. Let's go to Don in San Francisco. How are you doing, Don?
Really well. Yourself?
I'm doing good. Thanks for the call.
Well, I am interested. You brought up Greece, and I'm interested in the National Bank of Greece. I was watching it a while, and it keeps going down, I know. I'm interested because I think it's going to go down close to a dollar and ultimately bounce up. It's not going to be a long-term something. I'm just looking at it more as a trading. Once it gets close to the once it gets down to around a dollar, what do you think of it?
Well, this is for everybody else. It's NBG, National Bank of Greece, financial service bank operating via 540 branches in Greece and six other countries. And sales and earnings are just, you know, heading downward, and the stock has done nothing but go down. Today it's $1.21, up 11 cents. And that's actually...
It dropped about 13% today.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, that's right. Today it dropped. For the week it's up though, which is kind of interesting, about 11 cents for the week, but down 19 cents for today. Anyways, it's a penny stock at this rate. It's a $4.2 billion company. It's not a tiny company. It's still fairly, even at $1.21, it's still fairly large. Now, try to remember, it's trading on the New York Stock Exchange, and the New York Stock Exchange has a rule that you have to maintain a $5 or higher price. Did you know that?
I was thinking it was $1.
That's for the NASDAQ.
Okay.
So they're going to have to do something to try to get their price up. But usually the New York Stock Exchange gives them lots of time, know, if it's a big, you know, mid cap or a small cap, as long as it's not a micro cap, they'll give them time to do that. I'd probably stay away from it. I don't trust them. They lost $170 a share in 2011. They lost $14 a share in 2012. They made money in 2013, 85 cents, and now they're going to make 56 cents this in 2014. That's the estimate. In 2015, they're going to make 8 cents. They're going in the wrong direction, Don. Now, okay. What if they exit the EU? What if they exit the EU? What will happen to their bank?
Well, frankly, I feel that Greece is actually on the right track. No country has ever gotten itself out of trouble by this austerity. It's just going to destroy that area. And by Greece saying, we don't want austerity, I have more faith in them. It's going to be a hard road for them to do this, but I think ultimately it's going to be much better for them.
It very well could be, but your question is will their national bank survive, or will they have to file bankruptcy, come out of bankruptcy, and you, the current shareholder, lose all your value? You get nothing because the bondholders will be first. So that's what you've got to worry about. But, you know, it's a very high risk play. Just don't do it with a lot of money, Don.
Okay. Yeah, I do have some play money, and that's what I was thinking. You know, it's this low, but I didn't know about that $5. I missed that one.
Yeah. So. Good luck, Don. Hope it works for you. MBG, National Bank of Greece, everybody. If you'd like to see my checkup schedule for Northern Southern California, it's right there on investtalk.com. I'll be in San Jose February 17th and San Ramon on the 18th. And if you're not near that area, I schedule a limited number of Skype and phone conferences, too. We can do that. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. Our staff will take care of the rest.
We've expanded our seating capacity to accommodate the strong interest in our Saturday Morning Wealth Conference coming tomorrow at the Hyatt House in San Jose. Steve and Justin will examine world oil economies, and they'll show you how the average investor can profit from lower oil prices. You can reserve your seat now on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Are stocks expensive? Are they expensive? I'm talking about broadly speaking. Are they expensive? Well, the average P.E. ratio for the S&P 500 right now, is about 17. The average P.E. ratio over any length of time is around 14 to 16, okay, over history. So it's not very expensive. But there's different ways to look at the P.E.s and expensive. For instance, there's what was called the Shiller P.E., and this P.E. uses a trailing 10-year average of earnings and compares it with today's price of the S&P 500. And this has been a pretty good gauge of whether the market is overvalued or undervalued. And in 1999, that P.E. was 44. That was the highest it's ever been, ever, 44. That's a dot-com period, right? Today, at the end of 2014, it's 27. Now, when you compare that with 44, you say, oh, that's not too bad. Maybe it's not overpriced. Okay, it's not an extreme, obviously. It's not. But the range of extreme, of when something is extreme for the Case-Shiller, is between 25 and 40. So, is it an extreme? I don't think so. But over the last 20 years or so, 20 has been the average for the Case-Shiller PE. Right now it's at 27. When it's between 25 and 40, for 10 years after that, the average annual return of the indexes is 0.5%. Isn't that interesting? And it's at 27 or now. So, there's no one who can give you a definitive answer, by the way, of whether the market's overvalued or undervalued. But I will try. I think it's a bit overvalued. Does that mean you get out of the market? No. I'm just saying that it's a bit overvalued. How can that work itself out? Well, there are several ways. One way is to the earnings increase for corporate earnings. Stocks don't have to go down. Corporate earnings could go up, right? Another is for stocks going to go down. Stocks could go down. Okay, so, you know. But remember, this is an average of the last 10 years. So it's kind of hard. It would be difficult for if earnings go up this year, they're just going to average that with the previous 9 years. So it's not going to move the needle that much. Let's go to BJ in Fremont. He wants to talk about Greece. How are you doing, BJ?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Steve. I just want to expand upon the previous discussion that caller had.
Sure.
I think it is well known, or it is general consensus in long run, if Greece comes out of EU, it will be beneficial to them. It may be hard road, but in my opinion, every country will do the right decision in their own favor. So assuming that it comes out of EU, how do we play the currency and its fluctuation in our favor to make some money on that?
I actually think the euro, if Greece leaves, the euro will actually go up in value. That's what I think. Because Greece is the weakest component, even though it's really small, but it's still a drag because it's the weakest component of all the countries in the EU. So once they don't have to worry about Greece and its debt problems and all those issues that go along with it, and it's no longer going to be part of the EU, I think the euro will go up in value and the dollar will probably fall a little bit. Okay, Greece then will go back to their old currency, I'm assuming. And I don't remember what their currency was, the name of their currency. If they do that, that currency is probably going to be very, very weak compared to every currency in the world. It's going to be super weak. But what that will do for them is that it'll make their exports really cheap, but they don't have a lot of exports. But it also will make their tourism very attractive for people to go there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so which is...
Steve, what you are saying, that immediately, as if it happens, the first thing is to get into the, let's say, European stocks where the investors from U.S. will benefit by fall in the dollar, and post that, go and move into the currency which is related to Greece currency.
Well, you'll be able to buy a lot of their currency. I'm not a currency trader, BJ, so you know I don't feel real comfortable in knowing exactly what will happen because I never studied that part of the investing world. I'm just pretty sure that the euro will go up when they get rid of the weakest unit. I'm not sure how Greece is going to survive. Now, I don't know if you know this, but since the modern Greek country existed, over 50% of the time, it's been in default on its bonds. So, I don't see how they're ever going to... I don't see why anybody would ever want to invest there. It's just speculative. It's way scary to me. BJ, thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. Time for Invest Talk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. And let's quiz you first. Nobody pays more than they have to for a stock, right? So, true value of a stock is determined by what a person will actually pay for it. Is that true or is that false? Well, the reality is psychology plays everything. It trumps everything, the psychology. You need to track the emotions of the market to understand when investors are acting irrationally and mispricing assets, just like I just talked about, the Case-Shiller. Are we mispricing assets right now? So in a stock, is a true value, see, that's a word. What's true value mean? You know, no one really knows that. And a lot of psychology is involved here. I can tell you what I think the value of the stock based on its fundamentals are. And I would say, well, that to me is the true value of that stock. And now I look at the price and see if it's mispriced at what I think the value is or should be. But then again, doesn't ever mean that it has to get to the value I think it's going to be. But it's an educated guess. And you better learn that everything is a guess when you're dealing with estimated earnings and estimated sales next year. You don't know what it's going to be, really. Do we? No. You're just using your best guess based on history, based on fundamental analysis, based on your experience. That's it. That's Invest Talk 101. Is there a topic you'd like to know more about? If you want to talk more about reading investor psychology, give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Did you get your dose of Steve today? Steve Peasley's market commentary can't always put things right in the market, but it can put things into perspective. There for you every morning on InvestTalk.com.
Hello, Steve. I'm Tom from Detroit. I'm a podcast listener. I was calling about Citigroup. I was wondering what you thought about. I thought about it right here and maybe adding some. Thanks.
I think this is a good place to add it. It has strong support right around, what is that, $46, $47 a share. Really strong support. It came down to that a few days ago, a week ago, bounced, just like the whole market did. It's now $49. I think this is a good place that you would want to put this on. I mean, you're looking at a company that is not really growing its sales. It's kind of flat, but the P.E. ratio is pretty low as well. Earnings are going to be $5.37 in 2015, up from $3.71 last year. That's a 45% increase. And then another $5.84. And it's a $49 stock. That's going to be under a 10 PE. And the five-year average is 6 to 49. Kind of like it here. It's Citigroup. C. It's a $148 billion bank. Doesn't pay much of a dividend, but how can you go wrong? I mean, I don't see how it could be bad at this price. I mean, obviously, it could go down, but it looks pretty reasonable to me. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley. Our money manager firm, KPP Financial, offers four different investment programs suited to different needs and life situations, risk tolerances, like our dynamic growth portfolio. That's a pretty high-risk portfolio. You can find more about it on our website at investtalk.com. Look for the investing tab.
When you're an InvestTalk insider, you have opportunities to learn with concise, simplified reports written personally by Steve on many important topics, annuities, wills and trusts, retirement programs, life insurance. And there's an updated ETF list and much more. Sign up right now on InvestTalk.com. And it's free.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Jim in San Francisco. How you doing, Jim?
Oh, hi, Steve. Love listening to your program. Listen whenever I can.
Thank you.
I tuned in last week, and I tuned in about the middle of the program and caught a piece of a conversation. You were speaking with someone, and I'm not sure if you were talking about an investment strategy or a portfolio that you offer or a mutual fund or an index fund, but anyway, the gist of it was that you were speaking about something that was half invested in high-valued blue chips with high-paying dividends, and then the other half of the portfolio, or whatever it was, was also a basket of stocks that was
high dividend-paying stocks, and the other half was bonds that pay nice yields, and we ladder
that. Sounds like it.
Yeah, that's a portfolio we offer. It's called our balanced income portfolio, and 50% is high, big blue chip stocks that we hold. We hold them. We don't do a lot of trading. We will trade, but not that often. And we live off those dividends. We're living off the dividends. The other half is 50% of it is the 50-50 is bonds. We only buy good bonds, no junk, triple B plus or higher, and we ladder them 1, 2, 3, 4 years out. They're paying, trying to get high. It's an income based portfolio. We want that income, and we're getting about almost 5% income. And we also, the secondary goal is growth. So that stock part, even though they're big blue chip stocks, we're looking for some growth out of those things. And that portfolio has done very, very well for us over the years, you know, with a lot less risk than the market. You know, that's what we like about it. So that's a portfolio that we offer. We call it the income portfolio.
Well, thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the call. Anybody who's interested in that portfolio, and call me up. I'll be happy to talk about it. Love new accounts in that portfolio. I just love it. I have I always have all my money in my different programs, and my largest portion is in that income portfolio. Why? Because I'm 62. You know, I think it's time to slowly migrate more over there. Anyways, let's go to Paul in San Jose. How you doing, Paul?
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Good. Thanks for the call.
Listen to your show all the time, and I get excited every day.
Well, great. Thank you.
The question I'm asking is about a company named Micrel. It's M-I-C-R-E-L. I hear it's kind of a takeover company, and I was thinking about buying some stock in it.
Do you know the symbol?
No, I don't. I just know the name. It's M-I-C-R-E-L, the San Jose company that makes, it's a foundry company that makes chips.
Okay, let me see if I can find it real fast. Micrel, M-C-R-L is a symbol. M-C-R-L, Micrel Inc. This is an $809 million company. So Paul, is a small cap company, so therefore it'd be more risky because of that. Okay, you're talking about high risk. Because it's real small. It's going to make 27 cents this year after making 31 cents a share last year. But next year it's going to bounce to 46 cents a share. So in 2016, they look like they're going to have a good bounce. What do? They manufacture analog, mixed signal, digital, ICS used in wireless handsets, computers, TVs, and networking equipment. That's what they do. Sales growth has been kind of flat for the last couple of years. They're very erratic. Two quarters ago, the growth of sales was up 16%. This quarter's down 3%. This is Paul, this would be a very high-risk play, very high risk. I probably wouldn't do it because it's just too high. And it's selling for, it's selling for, what, $14 a share? And that's, 46 cents next year. Well, that's going to put it, about 30 PE. It's expensive and high risk, Paul. I stay away from it myself. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it. Before we close for the hour, our room is filling up, but we can squeeze you in. You can claim a seat for tomorrow's Saturday Morning Wealth Conference, the upside of lower oil prices. That's February 7th, tomorrow morning, San Jose, 9 to noon. Just go to investtalk.com. You can sign up, and we'd like to see you there. I'm Portfolio Manager Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP Financial, I thank you for listening today. We'll talk to you next time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.